WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum coming into the U.S. went into effect overnight, and the European Union is fighting back, announcing $28 billion worth of tariff countermeasures. The initial phase begins April 1st. CBS News Money Watch correspondent Kelly O'Grady reports on other effects of those tariffs.
We have seen a number of companies commit to bringing some of their manufacturing here, like TSMC and Apple. And so the idea is that over time, you would have more American jobs, more of the supply chain within the U.S. versus relying on other countries. But it's going to take a while to get to that point. And in the interim, you would likely see prices go up for consumers.
We'll see where inflation stands in a few hours with release of the February Consumer Price Index. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Fear of rising prices is unlikely to show up in today's Consumer Price Index. That's because the February CPI is backward-looking, and we did not see many tariffs in place at that time. That's why the annual inflation rate is expected to remain at 3%, which would match the January reading.
The House passed a bill to fund the government through September 30th. CBS News congressional correspondent Nicole Killian.
It keeps the lights on. It keeps the government functioning at roughly current spending levels. But there are some reductions in non-defense spending, although it did include funding for ICE as well as for veterans health care.
The Senate must pass the bill by Friday night to keep the government from running out of funds. A mission will launch for the International Space Station this evening, with the spacecraft expected to bring Barry Whitmore and Sunita Williams back to Earth.
Everyone has sort of followed their saga for the last 9 months. Headlines of stranded in space and abandoned in space, which, of course, the astronauts deny that they feel that way. But clearly, they went up for about a week. They stayed for 9.5 months, and that's not what anybody expected.
CBS's Mark Strassman. Meanwhile, NASA fired its chief scientist and others under orders from President Trump yesterday. The U.S.-Ukraine talks in Saudi Arabia resulted in Ukraine agreeing to work on a 30-day ceasefire with Russia. National Security Advisor Michael Waltz.
As a result of this positive step forward, the president has decided to lift the pause on aid and on our security assistance to Ukraine going forward. And that's effective immediately.
A Louisiana woman has pleaded not guilty to a felony after allegedly getting abortion pills from a doctor in New York where they are legal and giving them to her teenage daughter in Louisiana where they are not legal. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks lose in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks against the Pacers. Just over 3 seconds left when Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton makes a clutch three-point shot and draws a foul to win the game. Brian Anderson on TNT.
Pacers down three. Halliburton's got the ball. Halliburton rises up.
The Bucks lose 115-114. Doc Rivers says nobody covered Halliburton.
He was open the whole play, and we'll have to figure it out because that's a play that should never happen.
So the Bucks have lost three in a row. They host the Lakers tomorrow night. Junior Bridgman has died. He collapsed from a heart attack while speaking at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville. Bridgman played 9 seasons for the Bucks before becoming a billionaire businessman and part owner of the team. John McLaughlin was one of his teammates.
The finest person I've ever known in my life. Just class guy.
Junior Bridgman was 71. With sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Robert Redford has come out of retirement to make his first acting appearance in 6 years. The 88-year-old will appear on an episode of AMC in Dark Winds. Redford is also an executive producer, along with Game of Thrones producer George R.R. Martin. Redford will appear on episode 1 of season 3, which will air this coming Sunday night. Redford requested his scenes be shot on a closed set due to his insistence on appearing in his altogether. The show Dark Winds is set in the 1970s and follows a Navajo police unit. The show's director, Chris Ayer, says Redford's fellow executive producer, George R.R. Martin, will also have a cameo in the first episode of Season 3. He added that the Season 3 executive producer cameos were part of the plan since Season 1. He also admitted that despite Redford being a phenomenal and supportive producer, the idea of directing the legendary actor really freaked him out. New episodes of Dark Winds drop on AMC Sunday nights. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are broadcasting the show live from Madison tonight, statewide, all over our beautiful state of Wisconsin. Hope you had a great day, whatever you chose to do today, whether it was work, play hooky, rob a liquor store. I just hope it was a great day, and I'm glad you're with us tonight, where we can kick back, talk about some of the more fun things in life. Got a good show tonight. No music, Conrad. This is the first time I think I haven't done music when I've been in Madison. There's so many great musicians here.
Yeah.
But we've got talkers tonight, and that'll be fun, too. Tim Sowers will be here at 6:35 talking about he's the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer at the Overture Center, which is right across the street. I can see it from here, which is always fun, a beautiful facility. Tim joins us every once in a while and gives us an update on what is happening in the many theaters at the Overture Center, just a stunning, beautiful facility. And he will tell us what's coming up. I want to ask him about, there's a really cool Neil Diamond show, and I'm going to ask Tim about that. That's one I think I'll probably go see. That's at 6:35. He'll be here in person, which is fun. And then at 7:05, comedian Frank Roach. He is an impressionist, and I think Frank lives in Wisconsin. I've never met Frank. He's a referral from Mike Mercury, who's been on the show several times. So I'm looking forward to meeting Frank at 7:05. He's gonna phone it in, Conrad, but that doesn't mean he's not going to try. He's going to be on the telephone.
Yeah.
Do you call it a telephone, or you just say phone? You've probably never even used the word telephone in your life.
I use the word phone.
Phone.
Yeah.
Most people don't say telephone anymore. Where's my cellular telephone? I've never heard that.
You're dating yourself there.
Well, I've never heard it. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I've heard telephone. We had a rotary dial when I was growing up. I don't go as far back as Pony Express.
Are you sure?
A rotary dial. That's cute. I don't think I can't whip your ass because I'm in Madison, buddy. You ever had a long distance ass whipping?
I can't say I have.
You're holding down the fort. When does gelato start again? Oh, it's nice there now, right?
It is, but it's still, you know what it is still?
Sad gelato. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. I wept openly when I went there in the fall and realized there was no more gelato. Thus, the sad gelato music that we put together there. Also, folks, we're going to talk a little film festival talk and movie making with a director from here in southern Wisconsin. I think Jeff actually lives in Baraboo, but he is coming into the studio here. I call him a Madison-based director, but he is also the founder of the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. So we'll talk. I think that's so cool. They put the focus on mental health
The films, I believe, thematically involve mental health, and they have mental health speakers there. And let's be honest, most movie makers, as well as most people in society, have one mental health issue or another, whether serious or not so serious. We all deal with it. So it's a great event, and we'll talk to Jeff about that at 7:35. He'll be here in the studio. And this is the season for film festivals. The Green Bay Film Festival is this weekend, and we've had Nick Wattier on, who has talked about Nathan Demme's film February is in the Green Bay Film Festival. Dan Davies, who was on the show last night, will be at the Green Bay Film Festival with one of his films. And then the tribute to the giant spider invasion, the 50th anniversary. So, and then the granddaddy of them all, that's what I call it, just because it's in Madison, the Wisconsin Film Festival is April 3rd. And that is always an absolute blast too. I mean, talk about if you... If you just want to lose yourself in films for a week, that's the one to do it, folks. 150 films to choose from. Great venues, really fun events, Q&As, everything. That all takes place here in Madison, April 3rd. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as that gets closer too. But tonight, it'll be good to have Jeff here. We'll talk about the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. Let me make sure I'm saying that right. And it's not the Mental Health. Yeah, Mental Health. Am I saying that? Right. I have it somewhere. I'm a mess. I'm at my home court, Conrad, and it feels weird.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, what are you looking at? You're looking at an empty chair.
Well, there's about three kegs over on that side now.
Of course there are. Doing shots. Chris Casper sent a picture of his dog. When I got here today, he was telling me about this dog, and I thought it sounded really kind of mean-looking, and it had kind of a tough-sounding name. I said, let me guess, it can be mean if it has to, or it looks like a pit bull, so people will keep their distance, but it's a big sweetie. And he said, yeah. And then he said, she's 80 pounds, and he sent a picture. And I don't think this dog would scare anybody. It's like the cutest thing ever. And I'm not a dog guy. I'm not an animal in the house guy. We've covered that, right?
I don't know if we have.
Well, no offense to Chris. I find the idea of an animal in the house kind of strange. Animals should be outside. I know it's commonplace here in modern day America to have a dog or cat in the house. We had a bearded dragon for a while. But I say that because I'm mostly envious because I love dogs so much, but I'm allergic to dogs and cats and I can't have one. So I'm kind of envious of everybody who can. So that's how I make my argument. Animals should not be in the house. Great dog, Chris. Thank you for sending that photo. Conrad, did you get this picture?
I don't think I did.
I'll send it to you. You should put it in your wallet.
Okay.
It's a great way to meet girls. You go to a bar, you whip out a picture of your dog. It's not my actual canine. You know, but it doesn't matter. You can use Chris's dog to help you find girls. I think he would want that for you.
This is my coworker's dog.
How pathetic is that? That's hilarious. But you never know. It could work. She might think it's adorable. And it's like, he loves dogs so much, he carries around a picture of his coworker's dog. That's a big sweetie right there.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think that could work. So fun show tonight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get to this. It's our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
If you had to be on a reality show, what show would it be? If you had to be on a reality show, what show would it be? My wife actually thought of this question because The Bachelor season 29 ends this month and things are really heating up. I have trouble talking to her when she starts talking about The Bachelor. I'm like, I'm sorry, you need a girlfriend for this or another guy friend. Even if you want, get a boyfriend and tell him I cannot listen to The Bachelor talk. But giver that I am on these radio airwaves, I know a lot of people do like The Bachelor. So if you had to be on a reality show, what would it be? I think I would pick, who did we have on the show? She was on Survivor. Andrea Belke.
Yep.
She was on Survivor like three times, I want to say. Which I think is kind of nuts. And she admitted as much when she was here. But I applaud her. She was a fan favorite, Conrad, a fan favorite on Survivor. That's no easy task. I think everybody would hate me. I'd be the guy always complaining. I just want my cell phone and a coffee shop and sunblock. Oh, man, they would hate me so much. But I think I will say, oh, man, a reality show. Maybe what's the UFC one? Power Fighter? No, what is it called? The Ultimate Fighter. No.
The reality show for it?
Yeah, there's a reality UFC show.
I don't know what it's called.
The Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I would do. I would go on The Ultimate Fighter, get knocked out immediately, and go home. Then I wouldn't have to go on Survivor and deal with bugs and no food. Although Survivor is a great way to keep the weight off.
Yeah.
You get thin, it's the Survivor diet.
You just eat leaves and bugs.
Eat leaves and bugs and you or nothing. That could be a delicacy. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. Maybe just like Big Brother. Aren't you just like in a house with other people? See, that I could handle.
Yeah, I think I'd go with MILF Manor.
Yeah, but wouldn't your dad have to be on the show with you?
No.
Isn't it Sons and Dads?
Oh, I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah, nice work.
The first season is with it's with the mom who brings her son. And the second season is the dad who brings their son. So, I retract that. I'm not going on MILF Manor.
You're welcome, Steve. I had to call your boy's attention to that. I don't see that. The problem with that is like, well, there's a lot of problems, but that is definitely the weirdest, most awkward inducing show I think I've ever heard of.
And
a father and son hitting on the same girl.
The challenges make it worse.
Do you have to bed them?
They got like,
I'm dating myself with that phrase, but I love it.
They got like mud wrestling or like dancing or something.
Please tell me who mud wrestles. I want to know that. There's not like, God, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's
like, who comes up with that? That's what's really weird.
TLC does. TLC.
The Learning Channel.
I don't think they're.
Thank you for the education. I would not have learned that fathers and sons routinely hit on women and try to win their hearts in a good old fashioned mud wrestle. That's what the Learning Channel is teaching me. It used to be educative, didn't it?
The last time I looked at some of the stuff they have on there, because it's on Max now. It's only like,
oh, you got to be kidding me!
Yeah, it's only like MILF Manor, like the one show where they date someone from across the country, 90 Day Fiance. Like
90 Day Fiance.
Like 800 spinoffs of it too, and that's all I see of TLC.
90 days is too long. If you know, you know. Shouldn't take 90 days. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buck trend, and I'm going to say I'll go on The Bachelor. I want to be The Bachelor. I get to choose from, what, 20 women? I've been married forever. Honey, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I would welcome this opportunity. You're looking at me in shame.
I got a new one. American what Ninja Warrior. I'll go on there. Get eliminated right away, and then I'm done.
Yeah, and that'd be less painful than getting punched out on The Ultimate Fighter. All right, what reality show would you be on if you had to be on a reality show? I say The Bachelor. Conrad says MILF Manor. Let us know what you think. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Oh, we got a show tonight, folks. Coming to you live from Madison. Tim Sauer's coming up at 6:35. Up next, a really funny clip from Saturday Night Live you won't want to miss. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every time I'm with you, baby, can't believe it's true. When you land in my arms, you do the things you do.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm going to kick off this segment by saying, hello, Sherry from Horicon. You know, I know where Horicon is now because I drove from Green Bay last night to Madison and I passed a sign that said Horicon and I thought of Sherry.
I thought you were going to say you went through it. I'm like, that's a little detour.
No, I just saw the exit for it. It could have been like 300 miles in that direction. So I don't know exactly where it is, but hello, Sherry. I did think of you. And I was off the air, Sherry. That's what I think of your friendship here with Nightlight. Thank you for the text. Good evening to you as well. Meredith from Madison says, the price is right. Well, is that a reality show? Sure. We can expand the game show. Yeah. Look, I'd rather be on a game show than a reality show. Maybe that's what we should. Conrad, take a memo. Next question is, what game show would you want to be on?
Have you ever heard of The Floor?
No.
It's the worst game show I've ever seen in my life.
Explain.
Two people stand across from each other, and then there's a big screen. And it's just pictures, and you just got to name what the picture is. That's it. And whoever can't do it first loses.
What kind of pictures are they?
I saw one. It was like horse, banana, orange, ketchup.
We are getting so dumb as a society. That's insane. Meredith also says, say yes to the dress. That must be an inside Price is Right joke, because I don't get that.
Or maybe that's a reality show where
a
person helps get a dress.
Has to wear a dress they don't want to wear.
They have to wear it.
Oh, the humanity. Ed from Madison says, I would be on Queer Eye. I'm a mess. I need all the help I can get. Oh, the funniest part of that. I'm a mess. Ed says he'd be on Queer Eye. He's a mess, and he needs all the help he can get. I forgot about that one. Is that still on?
I'll go to the Google.
Go to the Google and see what you can find out on that one. Jameson from Pennsylvania, that's the 814, says, I think this is abbreviated, but he says, Hell's Kitchen Chopped or one of the culinary ones would be a blast. Have fun, cook food, way less drama than the other ones. I've been a chef and know I'll lose, but as they say, there's no bad publicity.
Well, good point.
Something you make kills someone, Jameson. That would be terrible. That might put you out of business. So you're a chef, but with that kind of attitude, Jameson, I would think you'd have a shot. Like, are most of those food shows, are they all like really good chefs or are they aspiring chefs? I don't really watch them.
I say it's a mix of like both.
Okay.
I tried watching Hell's Kitchen for like a whole season once, and it just got repetitive. Just one chef freaking out every episode, and then Gordon Ramsay just absolutely yelling at him.
Okay. See, that's the thing, too. You have to be a persona that people like to watch or are interested in somehow. So I don't think you have to cook, Jameson, or make stuff that's really good. Maybe you just have to not kill someone with your cooking. All right, so keep those texts coming, folks. This is in honor of The Bachelor. I said I'd be on The Bachelor just because I think it would be hilarious that women are clamoring for my attention. Because when does that ever happen, right? But these schmucks that they parade through on The Bachelor have these women that want to be their wives. I don't understand. And they don't really want to. They want, you know, they want to go on there. They want the notoriety. They want to build a brand. I get that.
Do they get money, too, if they win?
That I don't know. I assume that they get scale, or they have to join some kind of union, or maybe not, because reality TV has found a way to circumvent the whole rules thing. But I don't know. Anna from Madison says, "Yes to Dress is a show about a bride-to-be choosing a bridal gown. The show is filmed in a bridal salon in NYC. I'd rather watch Bridesmaids." That was really funny.
I'm pretty sure there is a movie called Say Yes to the Dress, too.
The movie version of a reality show? Yawn.
I don't know if it's a...
Yes to Dress. I can see that. So Anna, but what I guess Anna is saying, she'd want to be on Yes to Dress too, or she's just correcting or explaining what it is. Yes to the Dress. Say Yes to the Dress. Okay. Whew. After a roaring start here. Here's the thing. I asked the question because my wife suggested it, and I don't know any of the shows because I don't watch reality TV show. That's an oversight on my part. But I would say The Bachelor. Conrad said MILF Manor.
No, I
think you'd be so freaked out you'd pull like a Tanya Harding on your dad and knock him off at the kneecap so he couldn't be on the show with you.
We'd be on there for 1 minute and I'd say, "Dad, it's time to leave. Let's go."
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. So last weekend, Mike Myers appeared on Saturday Night Live, I think for the second week in a row. Do we have time for this?
We do not.
Oh, come on. Really?
It's a long clip.
Here I am. Okay, here's why I don't like reality TV, because I don't watch it. I asked a question. Now I'm sucked into the conversation, and it pulled me away from actual brilliant sketch comedy. But our question tonight, folks, is if you had to be on a reality show, what would it be? Let us know. The Bachelor season 29.
That show's older than me.
I was just going to say that. Like, there are people that could be on that show that weren't even born when it started. This is a big day for movie releases, too. Not a big day, but over the course of the last 15, 16 years, actually, I would go back to 1988 because that's when Stand and Deliver dropped. Edward James Olmos and Lou Diamond Phillips. And that kind of put, I can't remember if that was what put Lou Diamond Phillips on the map or if it was La Bamba. I can't remember which came first. Also, Everything Everywhere All at Once, that was the one movie I didn't see that Oscar year, so I still haven't seen that film. And Battle Los Angeles came out in 2011. Now stick with me. Battle Los Angeles is about a group of Marines who take on aliens that invade Los Angeles. Yeah, it sounds terrible, but it's surprisingly watchable. I've seen it twice. It's a great movie to watch if you're hanging out with like dudes. Aaron Eckhart is in it. He's great. And they kind of make it realistic. Civic Media News coming up next, folks. They're going to tell you what you need to know. And then we're going to be back with Tim Sowers from the Overture Center, who's going to tell us what's coming up. You won't want to miss that. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight coming to you live from Madison tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. U.S. tariffs on 25% of steel and aluminum imports are now in effect. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
We are seeing sort of short-term usage of tariffs in a negotiation tactic in order to get concessions from other countries. There is so much whiplash about that. It's really hard to tell which tariff is a short-term or long-term play.
The European Union will retaliate with $28 billion worth of tariffs. SpaceX will launch a mission to the International Space Station this evening. The capsule will bring home two stranded astronauts.
I think in the eyes of Wilmore and Williams, this has been a good thing. That is, they have enjoyed their time in space. Astronauts live to be in space. But all good things must come to an end, right? And I'm sure, if nothing else, their families are happy that Wilmore and Williams are coming home.
The House passed a bill to keep the government funded through September. The Senate could take it up this morning against a Friday night deadline to keep the government running. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks against the Pacers. Just over 3 seconds left when Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton makes a clutch three-point shot and draws a foul to win the game. Brian Anderson on TNT.
Pacers down three. Halliburton's got the ball. Halliburton rises up.
The Bucks lose 115 to 114. Doc Rivers says nobody covered Halliburton.
He was open the whole play, and we'll have to figure it out because that's a play that should never happen.
So the Bucks have lost three in a row. They host the Lakers tomorrow night. Junior Bridgman has died. He collapsed from a heart attack while speaking at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville. Bridgman played 9 seasons for the Bucks before becoming a billionaire businessman and part owner of the team. John McLaughlin was one of his teammates.
The finest person I've ever known in my life. Just class guy.
Junior Bridgman was 71. With sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season 2, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Fonz, or were you telling me it's okay to start talking?
I was telling you it's okay, but I can do the Fonz too.
Get out your cellular telephone and make a call. Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. This is exciting tonight because we've got, I got a director coming in studio, comedy at 7:05, but right now I'm meeting in person. If you're watching on the stream, you can see Mr. Tim Sowers, who is the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer of the Overture Center, which is right across the street here in Madison. Tim's been on the show several times, but this is the first time I've had him in the studio, and it just worked out this time. So it's great to have you,
buddy. It is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice here across the street.
I agree.
I just walked across the street.
Do you have this view from your office of State Street? Or
I actually, my office view is of the Orpheum.
Oh, that's pretty
so
good,
it
too.
Centers my window.
Another arrival theater.
I know, but it's a good one.
It's
a good old theater.
You could do a lot worse.
Yeah, that's right.
Good to have you here, Tim. Let's jump right in because, first of all, I have to ask you, this is exciting. Conrad, you're going to get a kick out of this. I don't see him. Maybe he's left. Okay. I thought you took a powder. Our question of the night is, if you had to be on a reality show, what reality show would it be? And we're doing this at the suggestion of my wife, a subject I know nothing about. But our guest, Tim Sowers, says he has an answer. Tim, please.
I do have an answer. I was on a reality show.
I can't believe it.
Very briefly. So it was, I don't know how many years ago. There was a summer. It lasted one season. It was called American Inventor. And people had inventors, and it was almost like
I kind of think I remember.
It was
that.
Almost like the beginning of Shark Tank.
Okay.
So people, the idea of the show was is people would have a prototype, and then there'd be one winner that they would then mass produce there. So anyhow, so I was working in Chicago, and one of my colleagues, she was so tired of, she lived out in the suburbs. Put up, it was around the holidays. She was putting up her holidays lights and no one would ever help her. So she invented this plug system where she could hook these pieces together, stick her lights out the window and clip it to the spouting. So she could do it all herself. And she was a visual artist. So, and she had these locks, like this section would lock into this section. And I said, oh, you should go on American Inventor. I just saw they had auditions. And she goes, what's that? And I said, oh, I don't know, some show. And she looked it up and she says, oh, there's one more audition left and it's in Washington, D.C. And she goes, go with me. And I said, all right. Right? Because she's not.
Well, you're a pal.
She wasn't a talker.
Okay.
Right? She's a visual artist and she was doing marketing and whatever. So I said, yeah, I'll go. And so we worked up our little pitch. So we're in this room and she starts talking about her product and I start kind of taking it over to talk about it. And we had 5 minutes. That's the time we were allotted. But as we kept talking, more and more people kept coming into the room. And all of a sudden we were there for over an hour talking about this product. And the producers came into our room in our little conference room we were in. And then they said, we would like you to get on the show. This is our final day of auditions. We have not selected any other double. It's all been solo people, but we love the way that you answer all her questions first up. And we're like, okay.
And so, she was okay with that too?
Yeah, she was great with it, right? And so we were going to go to Hollywood for the auditions. And if you remember back in those days, because it was like early American Idol and stuff, we used to have those audition episodes and they used to make fun of people and all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, so by the time that we got selected, by the time we went out to LA was maybe a month. And this was, we had computers and stuff, but they were calling us constantly. And telling us and pitching us on how to really pitch our, they were really going with
coaching
us.
Coaching you almost. Yeah.
Coaching. That's the right word. They were coaching us on it. And I remember, getting the contract. I still have it. And it was like this thick for anybody watching. It was like this thick.
No one's reading that.
But there was a paragraph in there that said, we have the right to ridicule you, to put you in a negative light, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They weren't going to do that to us because the way that they were. So we get out to LA and I said to my friend, you better get this registered, get a patent for this or not a patent, copyright for it. So her cousin was a lawyer who did that out in L.A. And they must have changed the scope of the show by the time that we auditioned to what they were going to do, because everybody they selected for the show already had final products and they were all being pitched on various networks.
Hmm.
And lots of freaks. They brought in a lot of freaky people to like ridicule them. And my friend's lawyer was the lawyer for the show. And he said, I have all their finalists and you're not one of them. So I was like, why did they spend all this time with us, fly us out to not, because we're not part of the ridicule piece.
Right.
And then when we went to do our audition with the judges in this this big warehouse and this little tiny set, we had a whole new pitch, but they were going off an old pitch and asking us questions. And I started to go, we didn't talk about that. Why'd you bring that up? And they quickly pushed us aside. But in the opening episode of the show, we're there. So it was kind of fun.
What happened with the invention? That's a neat.
I know it. She has. I told her to go on Shark Tank with that. That's a Shark Tank. They'll buy it.
Holiday
it's
stuff
still
especially.
Good.
Yeah.
Right. But she hasn't done anything with it.
That was your brush with reality fame.
So reality TV?
Do you watch reality TV?
I like Survivor. Okay. I watched that. I haven't watched it recently. I don't know. I like reality cooking shows.
People love those, yeah.
Like the Gordon Ramsay's Next Level Chef or Master Chef. Like, I like watching those kind of competitions. But I think it would be most interesting to just be behind the scenes and see how they really film that stuff. What they really do. Does it really an hour to cook that, or is it more like four?
Well, that's what a friend of mine used to do that, who was a comedian. Remember the Magic Bullet? Those infomercials? Yep, they're all acting like it's the next morning after a party and the couple's making the food. And he's hey, that's great, but I don't have a bunch of bowls of chopped up crap already in my kitchen. It doesn't take 5 minutes. It probably takes an hour, hour and a half. So,
like they do it with those kids. Like those MasterChef Junior, they have those kids cooking in an hour, and I'm like, no way.
Tim, this is a nice bonus. I was not expecting a reality TV background. That's pretty cool. And the cooking shows, I think at least they don't pair you against people or try to tear people down or probably even coach you that much.
Right.
Maybe just how to be more camera friendly or,
there's so many of them now.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, my guest is Tim Sowers. He is obviously a reality TV celebrity. Do you get mobbed? Like, you just walked across the street.
Celebrity anyway.
He is the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer at the Overture Center right across the street here in Madison. You guys have you have a beautiful facility.
I know, it's gorgeous.
You must just be like, do you walk to work and you walk in every day and go, I get to work here?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's lovely because it's so big and spacious and beautiful inside is no cabin fever in the winter.
Yeah.
Really, none.
That's so cool.
I moved here for it.
Did you?
I moved here from Chicago to work here.
To work at the Overture Center.
Yeah.
What, I mean, is this like, we have it here in Madison, the Overture Center, we have what a lot of really huge cities have, don't we? In a city the size of Madison.
When I moved here, I was, my supervisor at the time was someone I knew. And she said, I really need you to come to, I originally came to be the director of education. And she said, I really need you to come up here and bring your expertise to us. And I said, I'll come and interview, but I'm not moving to Madison, Wisconsin. Right. And then I walked into this space and I was like, do they know what they have here? Right. Like, you know, and I think at the time it was huge for this town, but now it's not. Now we're packed all the time. We have shows all the time. People all the time. It's really busy. Right.
And a lot of other theaters around too.
And like, a lot of
I would
see
Madison as a ton of
theaters. Yeah, it's really doing good. It's great.
Let's just talk about March and jump in here. You got the Madison Symphony playing this weekend.
This weekend.
Are there tickets available for
that? Yeah, there are tickets for that. And they do, I don't know, 7-8 concerts a year. And very highly respectable. They're searching for their new conductor right now.
Oh, I am so there.
That is happening.
Do you think I could do that?
I don't know.
Be honest.
I don't know.
Conrad,
would you want to do it?
You just got to go like this, right? Is that pretty much?
I don't know.
I think I could do it in spite of, think they would know not to listen to me. So
and the size of town for this to have a symphony, right? For Madison to have a symphony
where I live,
successful?
Yeah, if where I live, if they had a symphony, I could probably fake it for a little while.
Yeah, there you go.
But I wouldn't make probably good money doing it. All right, so that's cool. So there's good. There's tickets available for this weekend. Yep. Madison Symphony is fantastic.
Yeah,
they've been on PBS, right?
Oh, they've been all over. They do this really great Bolts competition where they take where they have young artists, audition and compete to for the best that there is, and that is amazing. They do that in the spring each year.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'll be coming up with with them soon.
Sounds like a reality show a little bit.
Anything
you could film, just turn the camera
anything
on.
Can be
exactly this could be a reality
this
show.
Could be a reality
and then I think all right, let's jump in. Okay, you have Beautiful Noise,
Neil Diamond.
Tell us all about that. It's not just his music, it's a story, right? And a whole
it's really the story. He's kind of looking at his life, and then it goes back into his life from, you know, like, I mean, I grew up with Neil Diamond music, but I was never a diehard fan or anything. But I am now after, like, he wrote so much music before he was even a singer himself.
Right.
So it kind of looks like his whole legacy of songs.
He's just one of those guys, like, for me, I probably in the early 90s, I was like, man, this guy's great. Like, I've been hearing his music my whole life, but same as you, I wasn't like going out and buying his records, and all of a sudden it's like Forever in Blue Jeans, Solitary Man, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
The show, it's very popular. It had a nice run on Broadway, and I just, you know, one of the things with Broadway is I get all the information, you know, about weekly grosses on Broadway and how the shows are all doing on the road, and that show's only been in the road like 5-6 months, and it's already cooped its investment.
Wow.
So now they're in the profit.
How is it selling here?
Great.
Okay.
They're tickets, but it's great. Okay. Yeah.
So that's this week. Wait, next week. Next week and then the week after too, right?
No, just one.
Just 1 week.
Just 1 week. We do 8 shows, Tuesday through Sunday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Get your tickets, folks. All right. And then I think we can get this in before the break. Shamrock Tenors.
I know it. Boys from Ireland. Singing the best there is.
Irish Tenors. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
They're good.
Are they?
Yeah, really good.
I would hope so.
They had this other show called The Choir of Man that I saw 1 year over at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and brought that show over here a couple years ago. And now they have this new show, and it's just these glorious voices.
Oh, it's amazing. I grew up listening to my dad sing. He was an Irish tenor and always sang, like, you know, when we go to church, he was doing Ave Maria and all these. So I loved all the, you know, and he would talk about, like, when I was a kid, I was listening to rock and roll and all this.
Yeah,
and he would talk about Pavarotti, and I'm just like,
right.
And then I got older, and I developed an appreciation for all that stuff. So he was one of the three tenors, right? It's Pavarotti, Bobby O'Shea. No, I'm just
I don't know.
The two other guys, and then the Madison Ballet later in the month, right?
Yeah, they do great repertoire at Overture Center.
Is that the same group that would have done the
Nutcracker?
The Nutcracker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's just March, folks. So if you want to get down to the Overture Center, you can see any one of these shows. They still have tickets available, and they're all phenomenal. If I wanted to see all of these, Tim, like if I had money burning a hole in my pocket, could I get like a month-long pass or something?
No, every show's different.
It's not like you just mark the wrist.
Because there's different companies.
Yeah.
Right? Like some are Overture shows. The symphony is their own show. The ballet is their show.
Okay.
So it's all different. We have so many people using the building.
Tim Sowers is here from the Overture Center. We're going to come back and maybe talk about a couple more shows. And I'm going to ask Tim what he's watching. He always is very well informed in the way of episodics and movies. We'll do that after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. It's great to have you with me here on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tappel Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show. Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wicked. Tim Sowers is here from the Overture Center right across the street. We're broadcasting live from Madison tonight. Great to have you with me on this beautiful day here in the state of Wisconsin. We were talking about Wicked, Tim. Did you like the movie?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it? I think you know the story.
I do. That's my problem. Like, I did. I everybody's like, you haven't watched it? And I was like, I know what happened.
Yeah, I get it.
I'll watch it. It's going to be free now on Peacock this month.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen the stage show, but I like the movie.
Listen, it brought the stage show back on Broadway. Wicked is the number one grossing show again because of that movie. It looked good.
Yeah, it was great.
I'll watch it.
I liked it. I think the fact that it has another part coming out hurt it in the Oscars because it kind of had everything. It didn't really
do much.
But what do you have? You said you could tease what's coming up in the way of Broadway shows or what you guys have in
April. Wicked. I mean, Wicked single tickets go on sale this week, Friday.
Okay.
In the summer. And then April 17th, we announce our next season already. And we still have over 30 shows we're announcing, 7 Broadway shows for that.
Nice.
Another real big one coming back to us again.
I know you can't tell me, and that's fine. I've seen Les Mis in 3 different states.
We just had it last.
Oh, did you really?
Season or the season before?
I actually saw it up in Appleton anyway. So.
Yeah,
and it's the same. Group
it's the same.
Yeah.
Same tour. Still going strong.
Phenomenal.
It's a great show. I mean, it's a great. It's going to always be popular.
Will it always tour?
No. What they do usually is like tour it for a few years, take a couple years off, and then say. Brand new tour.
It's coming back. Yeah,
like
right.
Phantom is going back on the road again.
Oh, really?
After, you know, it closed on Broadway after being the longest running show. And this next season will be the first year out of that show.
Okay. Nice.
Phantom.
I've never seen that either.
That's been around since the 80s, right?
I know. So was Les Mis, right?
Yeah, late 80s. Yeah.
So, Tim, it's about that time. I need to ask you, is there anything else you want to talk about that's
no,
coming
good.
To the Overture?
All right. Good. Let's talk about what we're watching.
Let's get to some moving pictures and some colored
television.
I'm
telling you, I need help on what to watch.
Oh, really?
There's nothing out. I'm watching White Lotus. Do you watch White Lotus?
Yes. I just finished season two, and I'm waiting for season three to build up.
Okay, so that I'm on that.
Okay. Did you like season two?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, me too.
Do you like it?
I do.
It's interesting. I will say on season three, though, and I won't give you anything away.
Okay.
Because you watched all season two.
Yeah.
I miss Jennifer Coolidge.
It's
her
so
character
funny.
Was so crazy and so kind of essential to the show in a lot of ways in both seasons.
Right.
So I kind of miss that presence of her.
Here's my thing with Jenner. Okay. I loved her too. I love Jennifer Coolidge in general. She's phenomenal.
She's hilarious.
But her death in season two, this is weird to say, and I took some heat for it from our texters, made me laugh.
And I know it didn't seem real. The way she just plopped over the edge.
And her last words are, "You've got this." And then she goes down the head first. You hear
I'm hoping she's not really dead. That's what I'm hoping. But she probably is.
We've had John Grise on the show, the guy who plays her husband, Rico, and he's great. And I'm trying to get him back on the show to talk about season three, but she is missed. I agree. But her death was so funny in a weird way that she makes it, she kills all these guys and saves her fortune, and then she dies anyway. Well, it's been a year.
That's right. If you didn't watch it by now,
you're not
it.
Exactly. So, but it's a good
but
show.
But the show is quirky in that way. They have that humor that's on that dark comedy that's underneath all of it.
Yep.
Right.
And in season one, the hotel manager who just kept sticking it to that newlywed guy.
Oh my God, hilarious.
It was just, Mike White is just such a great writer, and his characters are just
phenomenal. And he was involved in Survivor.
Mike White?
He was on Survivor.
The guy who wrote Orange County, The White Lotuses.
I just saw something on it and I looked him up. And if you look at it, they're filmed very much. He's an older guy.
Yeah.
And he was on a season of Survivor.
Gosh,
see, everybody's
hilarious.
On Survivor.
Except me. I don't like bugs. Have you seen, did you see Black Doves?
No.
That's pretty good. Who's the actress? Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah.
And there's another guy in there. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
He's great. I like that. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I'm watching nothing. Like,
try it.
There's not much. I'm watching a PBS show that's on Amazon called Endeavor. Do you ever watch
that?
Yeah,
I've heard of it. I have not seen
it. It's like nine seasons, and it's a British crime, takes place in the 1960s. Opera music is involved in it.
Oh, wow.
Every episode is 90 minutes, and it's like every episode is like a
movie. It's a movie,
beautifully done.
Endeavor. Okay. I'm going to make a note of that.
Yeah, that's excellent. Really good. And then movies. I watched some movies.
What have you seen? We got about, what do we have, Conrad? How are we doing?
Can we talk about
that? Got
about
a minute and a half.
Okay, Oscars. Right. Yeah.
No.
What was that?
Nothing.
Anora? Did you watch Anora?
Yeah. And I didn't get the best picture.
I didn't get that either.
Like, if I had just gone and seen it, I would have liked it. But I'm like, best picture? I don't even think it was as good as Florida Project. I loved Florida Project.
Oh, yeah, I liked Florida Project.
And I liked Anora, but I don't know.
It wasn't best. Brutalist, man. That was a good movie.
Did you like that?
I loved it.
Oh, we got to continue this.
And Conclave. I love Conclave.
I like Conclave, too. I thought that had all the pieces.
I agree.
Love the twist.
I think that was the best of them all to be the Oscar movie.
Tim Sowers, ladies and gentlemen, go to the Overture Center. Whatever they have playing, it's phenomenal. It's a beautiful facility. Tim, you're a beautiful guy.
Always
very much.
Nice to meet you in person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do like a buddy cop thing. Tim and I are going to start palling around and we'll film it.
Yeah, okay.
We're coming up next. We got comedy next after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. On the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart. When it did I fall? I wanna cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for the love.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Krautmiller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. The European Union has announced retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. after President Trump increased tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports to 25%. CBS's Kelly O'Grady says the impacts will be far-reaching.
You could see prices go up for a number of different industries. Aluminum and steel, they are key inputs to building houses, to building cars. And so businesses that are importing will have to decide whether they're going to absorb that or pass it on to the consumers.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
The European Union must act to protect consumers and business. The countermeasures we take today are strong but proportionate.
Britain, which is not part of the EU, says it will not impose tariffs on the U.S., but calls President Trump's decision disappointing.